Hi Raglan, weighing super values. Come in and check out our great specials with over 1,000 every week. If you are a gold card holder, every second Tuesday is for you. Present your card and receive an instant 5% discount on your purchases, including all existing specials. Our community cash grants are available to all local clubs and organisations. Our New Zealand Post and Kiwibank staff are here to help. We look forward to seeing you in store and being part of this great Raglan community.
Need affordable and reliable electrical services? Look no further than Stanley Electrical. From new housing and renovations to indoor and outdoor lighting designs, we can help you with appliance repairs, heat pumps and ventilation systems, as well as Freeview and satellite systems. Whether you're a residential, commercial or rural customer, we've got you covered. Contact Stanley Electrical today on 825 0214 or www.stanleyelectrical.co.nz.
Raglan Community Radio supports the code of broadcasting practice for the broadcasts of its radio programs. If you hear something you find offensive or intentionally misleading on our station, you have the right to complain. A formal complaint about a specific program or incident must be made within 20 days of broadcast of that program to Raglan Community Radio, PO Box 126 Raglan.
Kia ora, good evening, Whangara and Raglan. You're listening to Raglan Talking to Raglan on Raglan Community Radio. Here on your Whangara at 8 minutes past six, exactly. What's when I said it. Let's have a look at what's happening this week, what the weather's doing and such like. Say, the weather's promising us 45 knot winds tomorrow afternoon, so something worth mentioning. Pressure's fairly well down, which fits in with wet weather and strong winds, say 1,007 hectopascals. The temperature, last time I looked, was 12 degrees, going down to about 10 degrees overnight, so not much cooler. Temperatures for the rest of the week aren't going to be much cooler. It's going to be 9 degrees, I think, in the next couple of days as a minimum, and then it's going to rise to about 12 degrees as a minimum, so, and the maximum is going to be about 17, so still not really into typical winter weather yet. Well, the sort of rain and wind is typical, but not the temperature. We're supposed to have a mix tomorrow of clear and cloudy skies, 90% chance of showers with poor visibility, and the, as I say, the wind's supposed to pick up this evening to northwesterly at 20 knots, but then tomorrow afternoon southwesterly at 45 knots, and the swell is, well, swell doesn't really fit in with that. That's only going to be a southwest 3 metre swell, which is quite normal at this time of year. The low tide we're just heading for at the moment in an hour and a half's time, be a 0.6 low tide, so not especially low and not especially high for the next one we'll see in daylight, which will be about 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. A 2.8 metre tide, and of course the days steadily getting shorter, so another couple of weeks to go of shorter and shorter days, but we've now got 7:23 for a possible sunrise and 12 minutes past 5, almost an hour ago for sunset. Looking at what's on this week, we've got the usual trivia night on at Harbourview Hotel tonight, 7 o'clock, but also at 7 o'clock there's a meeting over at the old school to talk about forming a supportive and constructive writers group. So that's the old school on Stuart Street. So both 7 o'clock this evening. Then tomorrow we've got the Raglan Ramblers. I think they got put off by that forecast of rain and thunderstorms and such like, which is supposed to come in the afternoon as far as I can make out, but the Raglan Rambas are starting off at 9 o'clock usual time, usual place from James Street near the Catholic Church. Instead of heading up into the hills, the idea is just to walk along the beach and see whether they need to run for cover, which with that 90% chance of showers, then maybe they will, but maybe they won't. Means that there's a 10% chance of not getting wet. The next thing I've got down is that the weather should have improved by Thursday, so friends of Wainui should have quite reasonable weather for their work morning. I'm going to have a look around and see what work needs doing and sort of generally bring all the new people up to speed with what is there and what needs doing. So it's a good opportunity to join in if you want to. If you're another new person who's not been there, so it's 9 o'clock at the Wainui Bush Park, which is, what, 3.5 kilometres out of town on the right-hand side as you head towards the beaches. So that's Thursday morning. Friday, two things on at 10:30 on Friday morning. One is the Old School Readers Club, share the joy of reading with others on a general theme. So that's the Old School at Stuart Street for that one again. And over at Orca, at the bottom of Bow Street, Time Bank as its usual, 10:30 coffee morning at the on the last Friday of the month. And then over the weekend, Writers' Weekend continues. So a programme of workshops, talks, opportunities to connect and have a look at the Old School website and see if you can pay $140 to get along there and join in. If you can't, you might want to do some of the other things over the weekend, like watch yet another showing of the Julian Assange film, The Trust Fall. That's on at 4:30 at the Old School on Stuart Street. Usual $16 for that one. The last few showings have been booked up, so it's probably worth checking on their website whether it is booked up this time. They've also got The Moon is Upside Down on at 7:30, which is apparently a black comedy about a duped mail-order bride and numbed anaesthetist. Determined to have a romantic weekend, and an empty nester on a mission of mercy. So all those three get together, apparently, and have a black comedy. That's 7:30 at the Old School on Saturday. Crop Swap's on again, it's on twice a month, so first Sunday of the month. 9:30 at the Bowling Club on James Street, so if you've got any crops to swap, that's the place to go. And then the other film that's on this weekend at the Old School on Stuart Street is called Wicked Little Letters. That's on at 4:30, and it's about the 1920s English seaside town, and apparently it's a riotous mystery comedy. So those are the things that I spotted, Richard, on this week. Also noticed that the council and the infrastructure, their infrastructure committee met this morning. On their agenda this morning was talking about the new electric vehicle charger on Wallace Street, which is apparently going to be outside the bowling club. And it's going to be a 15-year lease. And they're going to charge 5% of turnover on the electricity sold, which seems to me to be not the greatest way to encourage people to use electric vehicles if you're going to put a 5% surcharge on there. If they're going to make a huge profit, then you might understand it. But they say that the current one on Bow Street, which is sometimes, well, quite often fully used, only sells about $1,000 worth of electricity each year. So 5% on that would be about $50. And really, $50 is nothing on the council's budget. So don't actually understand why they have decided that they should charge an extra 5%. Seems to be me to be a way of discouraging people from using it and from using electric vehicles. And the whole point of doing it is to encourage people to use more electric vehicles. And a survey came out this week from, I think it was Australia, but most of their areas have very similar electricity or renewable electricity profiles to this country, with around about 8% of electricity being renewable. And they reckon that using that electricity, you need to do about 40,000 kilometres in a vehicle for electric and petrol vehicles to become equal, and beyond that 40,000 kilometres, then all the savings go to the electric vehicles. So savings in terms of carbon and savings in terms of money as well. So if you've got a vehicle that you're thinking of buying and it's going to do more than 40,000 kilometres, then it's worth thinking of getting an electric vehicle. Even if you do have to pay an extra 5% to the council for charging it on Wallace Street. They've also got town hall seismic strengthening on the agenda and the Brewery Street boat ramp, which they say both of those are almost two-thirds complete and are supposed to be finished by July. And they've also got the Wainui Beach car park, which has been mentioned frequently, and apparently they have awarded the contract and the construction dates, they are yet to be programmed. And they also looked at fees this morning and decided not to make any changes to the fees that they proposed in their annual plan. The councillor did ask them about the boat ramp fees, and they are saying that they'll consider those for the long-term plan next year, but not this year. And they say that it's an option that's being assessed. So it'd be interesting to see what the assessment is. And they also say that they're investigating event fees, and especially for Sound Splash. And they're going to have a workshop with the community board to understand community preferences. So if you've got any community preferences on Sound Splash fees, sounds as though the only way you're going to get the council to hear about your preferences is to impress them on the community board and members, which doesn't seem the most effective way of consulting the community, but I suppose the main people who've been concerned about Sound Splash fees have been the community board, as far as I can make out, so maybe it's appropriate in this case. There's an announcement that Kiwis Against Seabed Mining are organising a bus on the 8th of June to go to the what's been called the March for Nature in Auckland. Caslam Side, a bus to leave Raglan at 10 o'clock on the Saturday the 8th of June for the Stop the Fast Track March for Nature, which starts at 1 o'clock in Artea Square, Auckland. And the bus is going to leave Auckland about 4 o'clock. And they say that if we fill this, we'll look at getting another. And they say that it is already getting quite full. So if you're interested, have a look at the Kiwis Against Seabed Mining website and book yourself onto that bus. They say a quick update on the fight against the Fast Track Approvals Bill that could see the Trans-Tasman Resources Mine in the South Taranaki like seabed fast-tracked. And if it gets the green light, then all bets are off for the rest of our coasts, as TTR have got an interest in the iron sand off Raglan as well. The good news is government is sounding conciliatory on unbridled power from the ministers Chris Bishop, Shane Jones and Simeon Brown. Pushbacks come from unlikely quarters such as the Ombudsman, the Auditor General, the Parliamentary Commissioner on the Environment and even the Ministry for the Environment, who say it contains significant risks. Government's wavering due to so many petitions and submissions, and the chasm suggests watching the Select Committee hearings online, noting that chasm hasn't yet given their evidence. They say this will be the last time we're listened to if this bill goes ahead. We don't want the bill tinkered with, we want it thrown out. It's undemocratic, it could lead to seabed mining, environmental disaster, and the way it ignores Te Tiriti is unbelievably bad. Media is digging into corruption and Shane Jones' undeclared dinner with West Coast mining executives. Last week we called for removal of Shane Jones' resources portfolio. It's clear he's corruptible. Ours Not Mine March stopped mining on conservation land, a decade or so ago? And they're suggesting this might do the same. Sign up on the Facebook, the website, or just come. And of course, it mentions the effect on Te Tiriti there. There's also the proposal, which has since come out. We've got until tomorrow to put in submissions on the bill to force our councils to hold referendums on the Māori woods if they want to keep them. And of course, I mentioned last week that the Waikato District had come out unanimously saying it does want to keep them. And if they do, and if this bill goes ahead, then they'll have to have a referendum on it. It seems really odd because they changed all sorts of other things just before the last local elections, and the only one that they have to have a referendum on is the Māori wards. Why they don't have to on all the other things they changed, the government hasn't explained. So if you're putting in a submission, you might want to do that. Again, you can find plenty of information online about the proposal to change the Local Government Act and make the councils do that. So it's the Local Government Electoral Legislation and Māori Wards and Māori Constituencies Amendment Bill, if you're looking for it. Local Government Electoral Legislation and Māori Wards and Māori Constituencies Amendment Bill. As I say, you've got till tomorrow evening to do that. It's on the parliamentary website. It's quite easy to put in submissions. And I was quite surprised that quite a number of people don't seem aware of just how much work local Māori have done on environmental issues around Whangaroa. So I mentioned chasm. Chasm came about because Hapu alerted Raglan to the proposals for seabed mining. As a result of that, the seabed miners decided they weren't going to mine immediately off Raglan. They were going to focus on the South Taranaki Bight. But as it says, if they get that one, then they'll probably come back here anyway. And of course, there were lots of other organisations created by various Māori activists around town. So even our recycling is largely down to the work which was done by various Māori activists. Organisations like Whangaroa Environmental Defence wouldn't exist but for Māori activists in town. Similarly, there's a whole range of other organisations, including the Environment Centre and the Enviro Schools and Parikore and a whole range. Well, in fact, even the Kerio Project also wouldn't exist, but for it was Malibu Hamilton who pushed that one ahead. He left it in the able hands of Bristol, who's been running it ever since, but for that push, it probably never have got going in the first place. And of course, if we look at the district council, since they've had Maori members, they've set up the environment sustainability committee, and they've also started doing some work on climate change. Probably not enough, but most places haven't done enough work on climate change, so, but at least it is being done, and it wasn't being done before they had Maori members on the council. So it does seem to me that it would be good to support that. And the only other news that I spotted is that COVID cases are still going up. So they've gone up from 547 across Waikato last week to 615 this week. Still 11 in hospital. Numbers of deaths have fortunately gone down from 8 to 6, but still 6 too many. So take care. And get those vaccinations, which seems to be one of the ways of stopping it spreading. So we're just coming up to the bottom of the hour. Let's have the bottom of the hour items, and then we'll listen to Gemma talking about extreme zero waste and the various things that they're doing at the moment. As I say, they're one of the organisations which quite a lot of support from local Hapu in the beginning, and well, still has. So let's have half hour, and then we'll go on to that interview. Then we'll have a listen to an interview with Bexy talking about the ecological corridor between Maungatauteri and Birongia, and see if we can also fit in something about that Julian Assange film, which is coming up this weekend as well. So let's start off with the adverts.
If you like random, I see sinners in a church, lots of shenanigans, and all of the topics, and not so random special guests and interviews, tune in Monday between 7 p.m.-ish and 8:30 p.m.-ish. Am I using that right?
What's the difference?
5 minutes.
How do you guys do that?
And replayed Thursday, primetime drive time, 5 p.m. till 6:30.
On 98.1.
Your weekly random rendezvous with Reza, your introversion legend. Reglanradio.com. Check